Hey guys, this is Danny Herbeck with the Muskie 360 Canada Edition. You're not going to believe who I found this week.
Hey Danny, what's going on, my man?
Hello, Stephen Paul. I thought I'd switch it up a little bit. What do you know?
Buddy, I'm no Joe Cooper, but I'm honorary Canadian right now. I've been here long enough, so that's why you got me, I guess.
Yeah.
Up here running to the 7-Eleven and the B&B Roadhouse there, so.
are you grabbing a pack of smokes?
I'm going to get a pack of smokes, the one with the rotten toes on it. Going to eat some poutine and watch Hockey Night in Canada reruns.
There you go. You're doing it right.
Absolutely. I'm practically communist. I've been here so long.
I thought I would kind of switch it up a little bit and see what you... I haven't talked to you in a few days here, and I thought I would see what you've been up to and kind of what you're seeing and where you've been fishing. I don't even know where you've really been hanging your hat these days, and kind of compare some notes here anyway.
Well, I'll say this, and the last couple of days, I don't have anything as good as what you got brewing or what you pulled here.
But, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was saying, I mean, what I've been seeing is abnormal everything, in my opinion, of where people want the muskies to be, they're not there, right? In the game plan, if you're running the standard Canadian game plan, it seems like you're doomed to fail, but it's really been like improvise, adapt, overcome has been my plan. So hitting some offbeat water, obviously hitting goon, hitting some smaller lakes, and then trying to find where it's set up right. Because, like, I mean, yesterday was a southeast wind, which set up everything like shit. And it's like trying to be on water that's going to set up right for the whatever blow I've got. And then as well, really fishing off edges and fishing way further out than even is typical. I mean, that's just kind of where it's been. I mean, consistently putting quality fish in the net. We had a 50-51 all but caught today. He just popped off both sides in another mid-40s and a bunch of action, but it's not winning where you think it'll be, and it's not that typical plan. I mean, that's just kind of my methodology right now, and I've admitted they're not up in the weeds. I've admitted they're not hitting blades, and just kind of augmented my game plan to get off a structure and get down and dirty with some deeper presentations and just hope they see it.
Yeah, I would agree that it's excuse me, it's not really atypical musky fishing right now. It seems like you're having either really, really good fishing or really, really tough fishing. There is no level playing field where you can always just go and like grind one out. It's either you're hitting a home run or you're going back to the batter's box, struck out. And,
what did you make it? And not to cut you there, I wanted to ask you, what did you make of it? Okay. So yesterday looked like the world's most perfect musky weather. Right, and it's like the lowest feedback ever. But when we get high skies and a north wind, they're coming unglued. I mean, is that what do you make of the weather read? I mean, just from
your
perspective,
my weather read is the hotter the better, the colder you might as well stay at home. And like so, Friday, I had probably one of the best big fish days I've ever had, multiple fish. I mean, we had a 52.5, a 52.75, and a 46-inch in about a hour time span, and it was flat calm, and it was right when the water had peaked about 3 degrees. The water temp warmed up 3 degrees, and the fish just came unglued. Mm-hmm. Right at the hottest, peakest moment of the day. There was no major, there was no moon, there was no front, there was not anything. It was strictly water temp related. That is the biggest pattern right now I can say. Look for the warmest water you can find, and fish when it is climbing. Because when it starts dropping, they are shutting down.
Shutting down. It's Danny, it's funny, man, because like, we haven't got to talk much. It almost feels, I mean, where I'm finding fish, there's some stuff, if it's quote-unquote shallower than usual, like north side of stuff, like whether it's the island, it's like the, whatever's getting sun. I'm fishing like it's spring. What's getting sun beating
north,
the most?
North facing.
Yep. North facing. It doesn't have to be the north shore. North facing. I mean, I did it twice today on two different lakes and connected. I mean, we had, I want to say, you know, 8-9 quality contacts with fish that were fired up with north facing everything that was sun beaten, and then we had the wind playing in our favor today. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's funny because you have not compared notes at all, but it is totally hot. It's like, what's the warmest water? Almost like a spring bite.
Yep. 100%. And I mean, I would say the fish are gravitating. Like, we almost had pre turnover, like the first cold snap in September, we start to get like a walleye migration here on Eagle, where the walleyes kind of just dive off all the rocks. They get out in the mud in 30, 32, 34 feet of water, and they get in some real random spots along the lake. And so not last week, the end of the week before, like fishing just dropped off. Like you couldn't hardly find a walleye. You couldn't find a muskie. And I was like, oh my God, what was going on? But it was right after we had a cold snap. And that's all that it took was like 2 days, the temperature in the evening, like at night, it got down into like the low to mid 50s. And it triggered like this false fall migration for these walleyes. Yep. And the muskies just bailed and followed suit right with them. And it took a couple days to key in on it. But now the weather is improving, the water temp is warming up, and now that whole false little walleye migration has kind of disappeared, so I'm having to kind of switch gears and adapt and try and find them again. Yeah. But same thing, yeah. I mean, the main thing I can say right now is I'm doing a lot of fishing out of the wind. It seems like that is the most consistent fishing because the wind is switching every goddamn day. So I might as well be comfortable and not fight the wind where I'm fishing because the fish are very transient right now. You can see them in one group of islands. There'll be 8 or 10 fish in one little area. You can go back 3 hours later and they're gone. They're not setting up. They're not sitting still. It's just it's a guessing game right now. And I mean, and it's a game of numbers right now is what I tell the clients.
Yep.
They're like, well, why don't we go back? There's 5 fish there. I said, those 5 fish didn't bite. We got to go five more new ones. It's a game of numbers. You're fishing for a very low percentage of fish that are active right now because the bulk majority are pretty negative.
Yeah, I could say that better, dude, which is so true. Of like, I have had in the last month, zero chances of coming back on one. Like, if you moved him, he's just there. It's not that they did not move him when you come back. They're not there.
They're not
moving.
Exactly.
Like, they're not there.
They're not. Nothing is setting up because nothing is happy.
Right. And it's where they, I mean, everybody asks me, and I share the same thing with you. They get on the boat. Well, what's the pattern? And I said, the pattern is we're going to do as many things as we can competently today. So when things line up, we get them in the net, you know, like whether it be, I mean, I've popped some, popped some trolling. I've popped some literally taking freaking baits and dragging, you know, like short line trolling. I've got stuff on deep. I mean, you got to be adjusting constantly from at least for me. I'm living on my electronics and going, I found bait fish. And if I find bait fish with big walleye around it, I'm freaking concentrating on this right now. And it's like, for me, and I'm just comparing notes, of like, I might find a school perch with some big 20, 30 inch walleye on them. I know I'm going to see a muskie. And let's say I find that on a 15 foot deep reef or hump. I can't go to the next hump and that be replicated.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Like, okay, that's what I'm living in. That's the hell. Like, you know how it is? Like,
So one thing that I am focusing on right now are bigger, longer, the biggest structures I can find in that area, because it seems like that's holding the biggest amount of fish, and I'm spending less time traveling between spots in a day, and I'm more time fishing. So when things do line up, my baits are always in the water. I'm trying to spend the least amount of time with my big motor running right now. Yeah. Instead of hopscotching, fishing a small spot that may take 3-4 minutes, going to another small spot 3-4 minutes, I'm fishing the biggest structures I can find that are going to hold the highest volume of fish right now. And the more fish I can encounter, ultimately the more fish I can get to bite. It's not a we just got to find one and he's going to bite game right now. That is not the case.
No, hell no.
Oh, I got to find 15 or 20 to get one to bite game right now.
Yeah. I'll say this, Danny, which is today was the first day in a month that I've had fish trying to eat and figure it. First day.
Friday.
Where it's everything.
Friday was the first day for me that I had active fish alongside the boat where they were actually like wild, not like where you could maybe trick them. You know what I mean? These ones were wild, jumping out of the water, tails splashing, you know, like volatile, violent fish, not just sauntering in. And, you know, if you could do a speed change or drag it in front of his nose real quick, you could maybe trigger him and get him to bite. This Friday was the first day that, I mean, we had some big fish going. And like I said, we got lucky, caught two really big ones and had chances at a couple more of that size.
I mean, there's not many people are going to have a 50, much less 250s, much less fish that are actually above 50. I mean, how much of that, I mean, like, I just want to know, tell me about that bite or tell me about how that came together, if you don't care.
Well, I mean, you know, during last week, like I said, the fishing was tough, but we had the new moon in our favor, and the new moon, I always preach the new moon over full moon. I always have caught all my biggest fish on new moons versus full moons, and that's, maybe I'm just more confident then. Maybe I just, I don't know. Maybe it's just, it's a luck factor for me then, but, you know, I saw those fish earlier in the week and just could not get them to pop and kind of kept in that same general vicinity and, you know, found the one structure that there was, we caught both those fish off the same structure, believe it or not.
Yep. And they're paired up as always.
Yep. And, you know, just, it's been mainly for me either a really, really, really like extremely heavy weighted bucktail. Like I'm putting an ounce and a half on it plus the weight that's coming. So it's like a lot of these bucktails might be 2.5 ounce bucktails I'm throwing.
Yeah.
And that's solely just to get it down 10 or 12 feet on the cast and still be able to work it at a pretty good clip. So that has been one little trick up my sleeve. And then otherwise it's a rubber bite, you know, throwing a mix of, you know, the Savage Gear Crosstail, Savage Gear Burbot. And that's kind of, and like I said, it's a game of numbers. It's not that I have the secret baits. It's not that I have the secret spots. It's being there, you know, and once again, paying attention to, you know, the moon and trying to put that into your factor. Mind you, these bites did not come on moon. So I don't know what caused them to bite, but it was a short little intense window where for about 45 minutes where things kind of went haywire in the middle of the day. And, and you know, I think that was more related to water temp. Like I said earlier, it was right at the peak of the highest water temp we had for that day, which was 73 degrees. Cause like for the last like week and a half, it's been hoovering
that's
around
the magic
60,
number too,
60,
by the way.
68 to 70.
Yep.
And they're just, and I, you know, it's a weird year. It's a El Nino year. It, You know, the water, yeah. I feel like the water, even though the surface says 70, the down below, you know, above the thermocline, it's yeah. abnormally cold. And that's why those fish are just being so reluctant and so negative for the bulk majority of their time.
Yep. I mean, you said that, I mean, heck, I'll give it away, which is my magic number. And I, you know, getting in front of the big ones I've got in front of, every time it has been 73 on the troller. That skimmer read, and it's that is kind of like the come unglued, you know, because there's so much of it where you're in the main base and you're looking down. I'm seeing 68, I'm seeing 69, 70, which is, like you said, you get down to the thermo, I mean, it's 10 feet down. It ain't warm.
No.
You know, and I mean, just to get them fired up and get them up and active. And I mean, you know, what I've been doing, I'll tell you, just a trick to stay dialed, like at least throughout the day, because I know you guide walleye, and I don't guide many walleyes at all, but I'm watching the hell out of what the walleye boats are doing. You know, which is, are they on the off? Okay, are the good walleye boats on the deepest humps or on the mid-depth humps to be able to run into, you know, that forage compact and, you know, okay, what we're thinking about, like you said, these main lake structures, thinking about where's the warmest water and then where are those walleyes at? Where's the food chain?
Yeah,
because it's so scattered.
One little trick too that I've done over the years and still do if I'm around it. If you see a boat camped on a hump for, you know, a long period of time and you know they're catching walleyes, the minute they leave, I pull in and cast it.
Because
they've been ringing the dinner bell for however long they've been sitting there, and I can guarantee you there's muskies around there somewhere. They're catching walleyes, they're releasing walleyes. Every time they fight a fish, that fish is struggling. It doesn't matter. They can call muskies in from a mile away. They will be fish around that hump that boat was sitting on.
Oh, yeah. My favorite camp is talking to people when they say they limit it out, and I go, where? You know?
Yeah.
Like it's so true of what you said of natural struggle attracts walleye or muskies. That's the thing of, like, so many people just get their shit rocked here reeling in a slot walleye. And, you know, it's a story as old as time about a muskie grabbing one. But like you said, that struggle and that commotion and that activity is pulling those fish in. They're there every damn time. Every time. So that's crazy. What you told me something, I guess, on the Savage front. What's going on with the baits there?
So about 2 weeks ago, well, it would have been right at that Raleigh and Helens there. What was that? The little musky, what do you call that?
The bash.
Yeah, the musky bash.
We call it the bash.
We released the scandal. So that is now available to the public, which, yay, I'm so happy for.
No.
Yeah. And just as of 2 days ago, we released the RTF whitefish, which RTF stands for ready to fish. That means it's a pre-rigged paddle tail. It's got a really cool, unique internal harness. Unlike any, so it doesn't tangle, it doesn't foul on the cast. But yet it's, you know, rigid enough so it doesn't tangle, but yet it's got enough movement to get a really good roll and a really good flash on it. That comes in three sizes, a small, a medium, and a great big one. I can't remember how many colors. I want to say 6 or 8. Same type of deal. It's got the removable belly weight, so you can fish it shallow or you could fish it deep. It's a pretty... If you're in the paddle tail game, it's a pretty unique paddle tail. We got some really cool colors, and I've caught, you know, quite a few fish on them for the short period of time I've had them.
That's awesome that you have a paddle tail. It's a removable weight system. Good job.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Anyway. God.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. frick and hell's bells. What's the, you said the sizes, but I wasn't paying attention because it's savage. What are the sizes?
I want to say a 6-inch, a 9, a 6, or maybe it's 8, 11, and 13. 8, 11, and 13.
Gotcha.
That sounds right.
Nice.
And, so that's, those are the two new baits that we launched for the 2026 season. And we're working on something pretty cool for show season that, we're kind of just wrapping up on now. I don't want to talk too much about it. But it's definitely something you're going to want to watch for.
Mutant rat.
No, we're not there yet.
I'm the worst person you could have on this show with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is that coming out stateside? Because I know they showed that in Euro. You know,
yeah,
is that coming this way?
We got some talking to do about that to see if we want to try and make that musky, like make it into a musky version or not. I think it is a kind of a unique concept, but we gotta put the testing to it. See if the muskies want to eat it. Put it through the paces before we start thinking the big picture with that. But no, we got something coming for show season. And then obviously Mads he's making his fall trip. He'll be here for 3 weeks with me, the middle of September to the first week of October. So we'll be running through all our prototypes and all our big brainstorms that we've had for the last year and throwing some new stuff and getting that all dialed in for the 2027 season.
Like when you're in the boat with him, does he ever go, Danny, it needs more whiskers. It needs more whiskers, Danny. Anyway, no, he's freaking good people. That'll be killer, man. Well, what do you think the next move is here with all this stability? Do you think it'll be just...
Well, what I'm hoping,
what I'm
hoping is it returns back to normal August fishing, you know, running the normal structures, running the rock bars. They'll start to see some fish should start to be pulling in some weeds on a repeatable basis. Right now, the weeds have been real hit or miss. I know people, some people are catching fish in weeds. You know, a lot of it depends on what part of the lake you're on too, right? Like I have been fishing, you know, mid central a lot lately. I know I did spend one evening up Vermilion Bay and partially up the Western Arm, and those fish were doing, I would say, more of what normal muskies should do. You know, they're coming off the tops of the rocks.
Right.
And then way up in the clear water, there was fish in the weeds. So those fish were more acting like muskies. But the clear water muskies, they have deep water there. But real gin clear muskies, they love weeds because there's not a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the Vermilion Bay type fish, they don't really, our basin isn't that deep. So, you know, the depth that these fish are hanging out is all relative to the basin they're in. If you have a 30-foot basin, well, 15 feet is deep for that fish. If you have a 90-foot basin behind you, well, 30 feet really isn't that deep for that fish. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's where they're all at right now. But I'm saying depth is relative, right? So, you know, one thing I can say is the Vermilion Bay fish, you know, the water's got a little bit more color right now. And those fish were, you know, sitting in that 4 to 8 foot zone, which was right in the wheelhouse for bucktails, you know, glides, dive and rise, you know, more traditional style fishing. And then obviously, you know, you got up the Western Arm into that clear water, you know, bucktails, they love chasing bucktails. It just opens everything up. They can see so much more, you know, so they'll chase a bucktail out of 20, 25 feet of water, no problem, you know?
Yep, no problem. I mean, and I think everywhere, you know, obviously I'm in your neck of the woods here, but Darcy Cox, you know, he's over on Lake of the Woods. He shot me some pictures day before yesterday, and he got some absolute hogosauruses. You know, he's always kind of dialed off. He's like a, you know, big fishy kind of guy. And the one thing as a takeaway, you got them on Kraken, that's all good and well. But the one takeaway on that is I think the same thing's playing, because you look at the pictures and there is no land in sight. You know what I'm saying? You can tell you haven't drifted yet. You haven't drifted off where it's that non-traditional, even on the Lake of the Woods, because I've had multiple people reach out to me over the last 2 weeks that are up there that are just struggling immensely. I don't think it's that traditional bite at all.
I would say muskie fishing as a whole, from people I've talked to in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, there is no place in the muskie world that's like on fire, lights out right now. Everybody is experiencing the same bite. It's very volatile. It's up, it's down. And who knows? I mean, maybe that is just the new... This is the new world of muskie fishing. You know what I mean? Maybe this is like what we have to accept. I mean, it's not like I'm not catching fish. Like, I caught 3 on Friday. I had yesterday off. I caught 2 today. There's really nothing to complain about right now. You know, like...
Well, the thing is this, though. I'm seeing... Every day I'm going out, I'm seeing quality, not quantity, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, it's getting to swing the bat on some real serious fish that you're not seeing every day. Obviously you're freaking, you had a banger day there, you know, of crazy numbers, and there's been some big ass fish caught. That's the one thing I've noticed of, you know, if you're doing the right things, where I'm getting at is this, is I think with those big fish not sliding up into the shallow structure, they're not seeing a lot. I think there's very few people that are willing to get out there. And again, fish to put the freaking bucktails or put the topwaters down, for one. I haven't seen a topwater fish all year, right? Put that shit away, put down the shallow running bucktails and, you know, actually structure fish or fish that deeper stuff. I think it's better. I think it's a better big fish here because these fish are seeing less shit and they're less conditioned.
Well,
I mean, what's your thoughts there?
Oh, 100%. And even as a whole, you look at any tracking study of any muskie, and, you know, Larry Ramsell did that tracking study way back when on Eagle Lake fish, and the big one, that 54, 55 incher that he had, you know, that tag on, and he followed for a whole year, it only was in, like, less than 20 feet of water, like, 1 or 2 times he found it. Yeah. So, the real big fish in the system only come shallow when conditions are perfect. They spend most of their time in sub 20 feet of water.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, that's it. You're freaking you get your shots at those, and you know they're just not getting harassed. And I mean, how much, let me ask you this, is like, what are you guys saying in camp? Because there's a lot of unguided people right now that are just getting their teeth kicked in. I mean, how do you think somebody comes up from Wisconsin, they're over on Cedar or Canyon, or they're on Eagle, they're on Lake of the Woods. I mean, how do you save your trip right now? Because that's a lot of shit I've been talking to people about. Like, people's trips are falling apart. What's the first thing they do from your perspective, where you live it, breathe it, eat it, sleep it?
That's a really tough question, because every lake is fishing so different right now. You know what I mean? But yeah. I would say fish slightly deeper running baits. And I'm encountering a lot of fish on just deeper shorelines, not necessarily... You know, there's fish on humps, but where the basin is pushing the closest to the shoreline. Not saying that, you know, my boat's in 70 feet of water and I'm casting a rock wall. I'm saying where you have a 30, 40 foot flat area and it's going into shore and the boat is in that 24 to 26 foot zone and you're still able to hit the bank. And there's a lot of those fish hanging on those just pretty vague shorelines right now because they're moving so much. I'm fishing traveling fish. One day they're there, one day they're not, one day they're there, one day they're not. But eventually you run down a shoreline long enough, you're going to encounter fish that are moving up and down it, is kind of what I have found. And they're not necessarily on the bottom, but they're using that shoreline, and they are in that 12 to 15 foot range down, I would have to say. Sometimes they're right on the bank, you know, just off the bank where, you know, your bait hits the water, you make four or five pulls, and all of a sudden, here they come. Or there might be just, you're going down a bank, and then there's just one random little stick out. We're talking like three or four boulders is all it's taking right now. And there's a fish set up on it for the time being. He's just stopping real quick as he's moving through.
Yeah. It's
not a time to camp on spots. Put the trolling motor on five and cover ground and fish fairly fast. I'm fishing faster right now than I normally do because I'm having to cover so much more water. Because like we talked earlier, these fish are grouped up. Literally, when you encounter one fish, dig your toes in.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because within another 100 feet or 50 feet, there's another one there. Yeah. And a lot of times right after that, there's another one there. I'm seeing as many as 4 to 8 fish in like a 100-yard stretch right now.
Oh, hell, absolutely.
When you have those fish grouping up like that, it's creating more void water. So that's why I'm fishing faster to try and encounter those fish, because they're not spread out evenly throughout the lake right now. If you pull into, say, a small basin and there's 5 musky spots in that small basin, all those fish in that small basin, they're all going to be on one spot right now, or two. They're not going to be, it's not like there's one on this island. Well, we'll go to that island. There's going to be one there. We'll go to that island. There's going to be one there. It's not like that.
When I was going to ask you, because kind of what I just did middle of the day today. Okay, we move one. We have that opportunity. Okay, bam, miss him or whatever. I'm setting back up and going through it again. I mean, that's how we got the big, the 50-incher going today, where it's like that second pass through that because we just didn't get it in front of him just right, you know, where I'm making 2 to 3 passes over the same thing once they start firing because, like you said, there's so many there.
Yeah.
There's just 4 or 5, like you said, 4 or 5. I'm trying to think. I mean, on one stretch today, it was like 4 contacts, you know, and then here's a big, you know, we're covering water and we get on another lick and it's like, okay, let's go set back up on this drift again because I was playing the wind a little bit. But it's like, exactly, like you said, it's people are striking out or struggling because it's not like you said, one on this island and one on the, you know, oh, no, it's they're grouped up like crazy. Yeah, it's nutty. Well, hell, Danny.
Yeah.
I'm at the restaurant.
All right. Well, you have yourself a good evening. I'm sure I would like to see you before you leave from the Northwoods. So I would assume we'll probably get together here in the next few days, hopefully. And we'll have a Livingston Lure Savage Gear fish off.
Oh, well, if you want to take it there, I mean, I did get a legal on the new brood available 2027 from Livingston. Thank you for the setup. That was great. Anyway, good night, everybody.
All right, man.
Email it to me, buddy. Bye. Bye.